We shall start. Opening Rashi on Parshas Bahar is very famous. Vayish Mikta Etzel Har Sinai. And he's quoting from Rabbi Akiva's opinion that just like all the laws of Shemitah, Kolaseh, Proteseh, Diktukeh, from A to Z, everything was given at Har Sinai, so to Kolat Tarakula, all the dinim were given at Har Sinai. This is really, the Chazon Ish points out, this is really a major machlokes HaTanoim in the first perek in Maseches Chagiga. The issue behind the machlokes is the following. The Chazon Ish explains, Chazon Ish in the Sefer on Arachayim goes in the order of the Shulchan Aruch. The first he has Hilchos Bichos HaShachar, then the dinim of Shabbos, and so on. Then after Pesach comes Shavuos, so by Shavuos he has nothing to say about Shavuos. He has an essay about Seder and the Sinas HaTorah. When were the mitzvahs given to Moshe Rabbeinu? So he points out that the background of the Gemara is the following. You have a pasuk that introduces a parsha in the Chumash. So sometimes it will say, "Vadabash al Moshe behar Sinai leimar." Sometimes the pasuk will introduce a parsha and will say, "Vadabash al Moshe me'ol moed leimar." Sometimes "Vadabash al Moshe me'arvis moyav leimar." So the Gemara understands that the Torah was given on three different occasions. There was Matan Torah at Har Sinai. The dinim were given with one version. The Torah, as we have it, is like the Apikursim say. So from the Chumash, you see the Torah is a composite of different texts. Sometimes we use text A, sometimes text B, and sometimes text C. Text A is the text that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. Text B was a text that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter, in Oel Moed when they were traveling on the Midbar during the 40 years. And text C is a text that was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu in Aris Maya right before he died. And then the Rebbe Shalom says at the end, over here use text A, over here use text B, over here use text C. Why was there a need for three different texts? So half of the Tanaim are of the opinion that some of the mitzvahs were not given bishleimusim the first time around Har Sinai. Not all the details were given. So when they were given the second time in Ol Moed, some more details were given. Sometimes even the second time around, not all the details were given, so there was need for a third text. So whenever the second text was the complete text, that had all the details. So at the end of the Avoyim Shon on the Midbar, the Rebbe Shalom said, use text B on this mitzvah. Whenever the text B was also incomplete, and all the details were given only in Arvis Maya before Moshe Rabbeinu died. So then the Rabbi Shalom said, use text C. That's what half of the Tanaim were of the opinion. Not all the details were given the first time. Not all the details were given the second time. So that version that had, the final version was the version that had all the details. So that was the version that was used in the Chumash. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees and he says, no, that all the 613 mitzvahs were given with all of the details at Har Sinai. And then the Rebbe Shalom repeated all the 613 mitzvahs a second time around in Oel Moed, in Boim Shon on the Midbar, with a different version. And then everything was repeated again with a third version. There were three versions, and all three versions contained all of Kolam Baseh, Proteseh, Diktukeh. So why was there a need to give three different versions? So we don't know. The Gemara doesn't explain why. It really is a pella. The Shita that Rashi quotes over here, Rabbi Akiva's opinion, we don't really understand. Why did the Rabbi Shlomo just varieties of spice of life? So he gave three different versions of the exact same dip. Why was there a need for three different versions? We don't know. But this is a fact. The Chumash as we have it is a composite of three different texts. Sometimes at the end of the Abayim Shana, sometimes Rabbi Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu use text A, and another mitzvah he told him use text B, but Rabbi Shalom Moshe be oil moed leimer, and sometimes he said use text C here. So the mitzvah of Shemitah was given. The Shemitah is Kisavoya el Ha'oretz. So the Gemara understands Kisavoya el Ha'oretz means after Kibush V'chiluk, after the 14 years, they only started counting to establish when the Shemitah is going to be, when Yovelos is going to be. Year number 15 was year number 1. So the first Shemitah was not the 7th year after they crossed over the Yarden. It was the 21st year. The first 14 years didn't count. And then the first Yovel was not the 50th year after they crossed over the Yarden. It was the 64th year, because the first 14 years didn't count, and they only started counting after. That's how the Gemara understands from the word Kisavoya el Ha'aretz. Yeah. The Rambam writes it explicitly. It's very clear. The Parsha begins, Parshas Bahar begins with two Parshas. First a parsha, a paragraph about Shemitah, and then there's a stuma, and the next paragraph is about Yovel. We should count 49 years, 7 times Shemitah, 7 times 7 Shemitahs, and then you lead up to the Yovel. So this is a machlokes which the Gemara alludes to on the beginning of the first half of Maseches Maikotin and in the middle of Maseches Gittin, when they talk about Prusbel. The Gemara alludes to a machlokes in the Sifra, but Rashi always quotes it on the Gemara, but the Gemara never quotes it. The Sifra has it. Machlokes Rebbe and Chachamim. How do you read the Parsha? Do you say Shemitah exists even if you know in advance that's not going to lead up to the Yovel? Or do you say no? Because they're two different parshias. Maybe one can exist without the other. What are you saying? No. If you know in advance that the Shemitahs, the observance of the Shemitahs, will not lead up to a Yovel, so then you're, biblically you're not obligated to observe the Shemitahs. So the accepted opinion, the Pashtas and the Gemara, accepted opinion is the Shemitah is only deraisa if you know it's going to lead up to Yovel. Even though the two different parshias, there's a stumna in between, but we assume that there's a connection. So Bizman Hazeh, we assume that there is no Yovel. I'm over 50 years old. I don't remember anybody ever observing any Yovel. No one observed any Yovel. How come no Yovel? Because the Pasuk says, "Across Major Ba'aretz L'chol Yoshvecha." That's the Pasuk I was talking to the boys before. That's the Pasuk that's on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. The Liberty Bell was commissioned by the Jewish community of Pennsylvania to be made. It was made in Europe and it was sent by boat to America and then it cracked on the boat. And they wanted, they were so happy, the Jews were so happy, finally there's a country, there's freedom of religion, they're not forcing us to worship Avodah Zarah. So they wanted this pasuk on the Liberty Bell, that thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. And the pasuk doesn't mean freedom of religion, it means the Ebedivi goes free when it comes either the end of Sheish or when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, whichever comes first. So the pasuk is talking about cross regard boards, Ocho Yoshveh of Shafte Mish, there's a din of Ku'ula Sodas. There's a Stei Miknan and there's a Stei Achuza. Stei Miknan, border field. Stei Achuza means I got to be Rusha. And the days of Yeshua Benum, when they divided Eretz Yisrael, so my great-great-great-grandfather, so many centuries ago, got this field when Yeshua Benum divided the land. And then his son got it, his son got it, his son got it. That's called the Stei Achuza. So Stei Achuza, if you sell a Stei Achuza to someone else, when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, you get it back. If you sold it, you get it back. What if you gave b'matonet to someone else, and then it comes Yovel, do you get it back? So that's a machlokes hatanan, whether matonet kemecher, matonet is not kemecher. We assume matonet is kemecher. Not only if you sold the field, the Chumash only talks about selling. If you sell a field, you get it back b'yovel. If you give a matonet, that's a machlokes we pass matonet kemecher. Then in recent years, there was a machlokes in Europe in the early 1900s. Rabbi Chaim Oiz and other rabbanim. What if you were mafkir as sada? I had a stei achuza and I was mafkirin. So, and then someone was zeichem and a hefker. You say hefker is also like mecher, that I get it back b'yovel. So that was a machlokes. It's interesting. There's still shailas that are not biblical shailas that are not so clear in the chumash. We don't know what the din is. So that was a machlokes. Rabbi Chaim Oiz and other rabbanim. Yeah. So the pasuk says, "Thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants." And it says, "Shaftim ishal achuza." So everybody gets back this day achuza. Ishal mishpachta toshuva. If you're an eved ivri, an eved knayni is lelem em tavod. He doesn't go free, not b'sheish and not b'yovel. But an eved ivri goes free on Yom Kippur shel Yovel. That's ishal mishpachta toshuva. So the pasuk is talking about proclaim liberty throughout the land, not freedom of religion, that the eved ivri goes free. But the Jewish community of Pennsylvania were excited about their freedom of religion in America, so they meant, became liberty, there's freedom of religion here. So since we don't have Kol Yoshvecha Aleho, the majority of the world Jewish population does not live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why the observance of Shemitah is only midrabban. When the Jews first started, in recent years, the late 1800s, started to establish kibbutzim, they were making colonies in Eretz Yisrael, and then it came Shemitah. There was a big issue. How are they going to observe Shemitah? So there was a whole shaila whether Shemitah was manazeh is deraisa derabbanan. So at that time, a group of rabbanim came back, decided that they should rely on the Heta Mechira. Heta Mechira wasn't invented in the late 1800s. It was introduced in the 1600s by the Sfardish rabbanim who lived in Eretz. So there were no Ashkenazim. that time, all the Rabbanim were Sfaradim. So the Sfaradim Rabbanim came up with this idea. If you sell a farm to a goy, the laws of Shemitah don't apply. So at the end of the 1800s, there was such a big Shas Hadchak, so Rabbi Yitzchak Hanina was maskim, when they showed him the tshuva from the Achronim, he was maskim to go along with the three Gedolim who came up with this idea. One was Rabbi Shula Kutna, he was not Mizrahi, none of them were Mizrahi, there was no Mizrahi at that time, they were Goyim Tzadikim. One was Dayan Klepfish, he was a Dayan in Warsaw, he was not Mizrahi. And the other one was Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch, what was there? Shmuel Mulliver. Then Rabbi Yitzchak Hanina was maskim. Yeah. So at that time, Kotzke Rebbe came out with a kol koire that all the farmers who were relying on that, the mechira, adina ka'akum. Why? Because Shemitah is considered like Shabbos, and they were mechala Shabbos befehesi, mechala Shabbos befehesi, adina ka'akum, and their wine is treif. They are so wine. So the mechutin of the Kotzke Rebbe was Rabbi Yosef Engel. So he has several svarim that are entitled Oitzvus Yosef. His name was Yosef, so he wrote Svarim, Oitzvus Yosef. So he has a whole Oitzvus Yosef, 99-page sefer. There's an open letter to the Kotzke Rebbe, his Mechutin, where he disagrees with every line that he wrote. He wrote a Kol Kori, one page, so he disagrees with every line. So he says it's not correct. His assumption that Shemitah Bizman Azez Deraisa is not correct. The question was the Rambam. The Rambam paskins like all the Gemaras that Shemitah Bizman Azez is only Rabban. And then there's one Rambam that the Kesem Mishnah points out. The Rambam writes that Shemitah is the Hegas Ben Bifnei Abayis Ben Shelo Bifnei Abayis. So the Kesem Mishnah understood that Rambam to mean that even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Jews are sent into Golas, they still have to observe Shemitah Min HaTorah. So the Kesem Mishnah works on that Rambam, and the commentary that he wrote on the Rambam, the Kesem Mishnah, he assumes that that's what the Rambam meant, that Shemitah Bizman Azez Deraisa. Rabbi Yosef Engel says, we know that it's not correct. The Rambam paskins halachas from the Gemara that are based on the premise that Shemitah Bizman Azez Rabbana. When he writes Shemitah is Nehegez Ben Bifnei Abayis Ben Shlo Bifnei Abayis, he means in the days of David HaMelech, there was no Beis HaMikdash. In the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, there was no Beis HaMikdash. But he didn't mean after the Churban, after the Golus, when the Jews are sent into Golus, you don't have Kol Yishvah HaLeo. So if you don't have Yovel, you don't have Shemitah. Shemitah is only the Raisa when it can lead up to the Yovel. So the Pashta says, that's what Rabbi Yosef Engel says. He writes in his Kuntras, he's prepared to swear a Shvur Deraisa, that the Shita Sarama means that Shemitah Bizman Azeh is only the Rabbanon. Yeah.
Almost Yom HaShoah.
What?
They said it's almost
Rob HaShoah. Yeah. Igmara says in the end of the Erechin that it's Kol Yashvah Aleo. You have to know, everyone has to know what Shevet he comes from, and the Shvatim have to be in different areas. So even if we'll have the majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael, that we're not going to have. No one knows what Shevet they belong to. Hardly anybody. Yeah, you have to have called Echad Yechem Makar Eschelko. So the Pashto says that Shemitah Bezman Azeh is not the Reis, it's only the Rabbana. The Rasam Rishonim say the Shemitah is not only not the Reis, it's not even the Rabbana. I think Mar talks about observance of Shemitah, it was a minik. Not even Mechid the Rabbana. The Ravid holds like that. Why? He says because no one's counting. Rab Chaim explains the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding Yovel. How do you count? You count 777 Le'olam Vo'ed, and Yovel is always the first year of the next Shemitah cycle. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. But he say no, you count 50, 50, 50, 50. 777 times, and then the next year is a blank year that doesn't belong to any Shemitah cycle. So that's how we paskin, you count 50-50. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that you count 7-7 the Olam Vo'ed. So then there are two versions within Rabbi Yehuda. What do you do? So Yovel is always the first year of the next Shemitah cycle, or the Yerushalmi has a different version. Yerushalmi writes that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have two concurrent counts. You count 7-7 the Olam Vo'ed, then you count 50-50 the Olam Vo'ed. So the first Yovel will be the year immediately following the seventh Shemitah. The second Yovel will be the second year following the seventh Shemitah. The third Yovel will keep on floating. And the seventh Yovel will be on the same year as the Shemitah. So you won't have a separate year for Yovel. It keeps on floating. The Urim V'Tumim, Rabbi Yonis and Eveshitz, and Choshim Mishpah, when they talk about Puzbo, they talk a little bit about the Shemitah and Yovel. So the Rabbi Yonis and Eveshitz and the Tumim assumes like that. That Yovel keeps on floating. So they ask, what in the world is he talking about? It's against the Gemara. So they say, yeah, he forgot to mention that he's working with the Cheshbon of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi has like that. The Mefarshim and the Gemara point that the Yerushalmi is not like the Bavli. So the Rambam quotes the Goinim that we pass like the Chachamim or Rabbi Yehuda, that you got 50-50 the Yom Avod, and the Yovel year is a blank year. And even towards the end of the Bais Rishon period, when there was already Golus some of the Shvatim, so there wasn't Kol Yoshveho Aleho, and they didn't observe Yovel, but they still counted Yovel as a blank year to push up the next Shemitah. The Gemara says, Manu Yovelis, the Kaddish Shemitah. They counted the Yovel year as a blank year in order to push up the next Shemitah. Shouldn't be 7 years later. You don't count 770 on the board, you count 50-50. So the Rambam thinks that Bizmanazah should also be the same. We should count 50-50, and every 50th year should be a blank year with nothing doing. It shouldn't, we don't have to observe Yovel because you don't have Kol Yoshveh Aleho, but Yovel should be counted as a blank year to push off the next Shemitah. And he says that the Goinim say not so. He thinks the Goinim made a mistake. He doesn't agree with the Goinim. Why should it be different Bizmanazah? Why should you just count 7-7? But then the Rambam says, don't listen to me. You should follow the Goinim because they lived in Eretz Yisrael. And that was the practice years, for many, many years. And he says, the Masorah in the Minig are Iker Godlem Psak Aloch. They had the Masorah. I live in Chutzlortz. I live in Egypt. He lived in Spain. He lived in Egypt. He didn't observe. There was no Shemitah V'Yovel. It says, Masorah is an Iker Godlem Psak Aloch. So the Rabbi there disagrees, but the Rambam says, no, you should follow the Rambam. You should follow the Rambam. You should count the Yovel as a blank year Bizmanazah. Absolution said, to the best of his recollection, this is the only location where there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam says you should not paskin like the Rambam, and the Ravid says no, the Rambam is right, you should paskin like the Rambam. Machlokes, but you should count yet. So we count 770 on the board. So the question is, the Rambam doesn't understand, why shouldn't you count Yovel as a blank year? He doesn't understand the Gemara. So what's Taka the Pshat? Why don't we count Yovel as a separate year? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has in his sefer, the Or Sameach has a whole, and Meshech Chachmi has a whole explanation based on Kabbalah. But Rav Chaim explains simply, in order to establish Nasa Yovel, you have to have a Sefar Telecho, means that Bezna Godel has to count every year, what year it is in the Yovel system. So we don't have any Bezna Godel now. There is no Bezna Godel. So no one's counting, so the Yovel can't exist at all. Yovel doesn't exist unless you have a Bezna counting. Shemitah could exist ben Torah even without a bezin counting, but we paskin like Rebbe that Shemitah is only the rice if it can lead up to Yovel. If you know we don't have Kol Yoshveh, the Shemitah is not going to be able to lead up to Yovel, so the Shemitah is only the Rabbanon. So the Ravid is of the opinion that in order to establish Shemitah, Shemitah doesn't happen by itself either. You need a bezin agadol, just like you need a bezin agadol to count to establish Yovel, you need a bezin agadol to establish Shemitah. We have no central bezin counting. So there can't be any Shemitah deraisa. So the whole can't be Shemitah derabbanan either. So the Ravid's opinion is that the whole observance of Shemitah today is only a minik.
That doesn't work for the Rambam, though. Even with the Rambam, but without the Masorah. The Rambam holds as Bitnevai, Vishlobitnevai. We need Malcolm Dorian for Bitnevai. We don't have a Bayit.
Yeah.
So there's no Yovel, according to the Rambam.
Well, there wasn't a Bezna Gadol before they built the Beis HaMikdash. Moshe Rabbeinu had the din like Bezna Gadol. Before there was a Beis HaMikdash, there was a Bezna Gadol. The Rambam seems to hold, we learned in Sanhedrin this year, the Rambam seems to hold that there was a Bezna Gadol till the days of Abai Verava. Because the Rambam holds that the Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra HaShanah can only be done by the Bezna Gadol. And the Rambam quotes the Gemara, they continued to do in Eretz Yisrael Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra HaShanah deep into the days of the Amoraim till a lifetime of Abai Verava. During their lifetime, that's when they established the Luach Kavua that we have.
Representing Klal Yisrael, we think this Sefer HaDalecha.
That's
just like
the one.
Maybe said that the Beit HaGadol represents Klai, so on this effect, that's why he can be Shalok Nevi'it also.
Right.
So he also continues Shalok Nevi'it because it's representing Klai.
That could be. That could be. That could well be. Mm-hmm. Pasuk reads, "V'hoisu Shabbos Oros Lachem." So the Sifro Teruskanim has a pasuk, "Lachem Lalu Masoilam." What does that mean? Of course not. It's not from the seven mitzvahs ben enoyah. We discussed yesterday which additional mitzvahs are there over and above the seven mitzvahs, but not shmita v'yovel. So why is there a havamina that you have to be memayit zarab? Yosef Karo writes in his tshuvas in Afkas Reichel, he thinks that the pshat in the sifra is Oysa Shabbos Haslachem Lolium Soilam, that you only have to observe Shemitah, the laws of Shemitah only apply on a land that belongs to a Jew. If the land belongs to a non-Jew, the parents that grow do not have Kedusha's parish shvi'is. Because this pasuk talks about Shabbos Haslachem La'ochla, the word La'ochla is the one word that gives you all the klalim and all the pratim of Kedusha's parish shvi'is. Gemara says that all the Tanaim darshan, La'ochla v'lo lehepsit. You're not allowed to throw out perish shvius. Let's say you ate and you left something over. You have vegetables out, you leave it up. So if it would have been a normal time, you would throw it out in the garbage. What are you going to save the leftover? Tomorrow I'm going to make a new vegetable salad. I want to eat fresh vegetables. I'm not going to save it for later. So to go eat it, I'm not hungry for it. So it's a bal tashchis on my goof. The toss of bal tashchis on the leftover vegetables. Baltashchis on the body. So the Gemara says, Baltashchis the gufa yodif. So usually we throw out leftover vegetables. If it's perish shvi'is, you're not allowed to throw it out. You're not mechuyev to put it in the freezer to keep it forever, but you have to leave it around the house, out of the refrigerator, till it becomes so rotten, so spoiled, that it's no longer royal achilas sodom, then it loses the kedushas perish shvi'is. But that's not that from the word, the ochla below the hepsit. Also included the ochla below the malugma. You're not allowed to take perish shvi'is and make medication out of it. You're only allowed to use it for food purposes that normal people eat. Medicine is only eaten, malugma is only eaten by people who are sick. Then you say, liochla v'lola minochas, you're not allowed to take perishviyas and burn it on the mizbech as a korban mincha. Some of it the kohanim will eat, the shiori ha-mincha, but the kometz is going to be burnt on the mizbech. So you're not allowed to use it, for minochas. You have to be careful with the perishviyas. Then there's another drasha, liochla v'lola schora, you're not allowed to make big business with perish shvius. You can be zeichem and hefka. Let's say I went out, I plucked out some apples, some oranges, I plan to eat it today. And then Menachem Sanhedrin says, oh, can you do me a favor, give me some of your oranges, and you go pluck. I can't walk, I can't climb, do me a favor, give me some. So I'll give it to him and I'll charge him money. So that's not a violation of schorah, because Mishnah explains, Tosfos explains, lachma l'schorah is only a violation if you're making big business, you're making a whole parnasa out of it. But just to sell a couple of apples, a little bit, that's not a violation. And then there's a special din that only applies to perish shvi'is. The pasuk later refers to Yovel, Kodesh Di'alachem, Men Asodet Tachlu Estvalasa. So the word Kodesh appears twice, and once it refers to the Shana is Kodesh, and once it refers to the Peris, that the Peris have Kedusha's perish shvi'is. From the word Li'ochla, you see all the details. And the word Kodesh, you see, it has Kedushas Perish Shvi'is, and that's why it has all these restrictions. Something that's holy has to have some restrictions. Kedusha means that there are restrictions. So the Gemara says it's referred, Perish Shvi'is and Perish Yovel have the same thing. They're referred to as Kodesh. It's like Hegdash. Just like Hegdash is Tafesas Domeha, so too Perish Shvi'is are Tafesim Domei. So let's say I have Perish Shvi'is, and I sell it to the next door neighbor. He gives me a dollar. Because I give him the perish shvi'is. I have to use that dollar to buy food. I can't put the dollar in a bank. I can't buy clothing. I have to use that dollar to buy food and eat the food up. Whatever food I'll buy will be mekudesh b'kedushas perish shvi'is. And I have to eat that food before this zman habiur. What is this zman habiur? That's the last pasuk here, pasuk zayin, in the parsha, the paragraph about Shemitah. It says, you should eat the perish shvi'is. So Rashi quotes from the Sifra, from the Tanoim, from the Mishnah, it's like that. If the Chaya and the forest can eat, so of course the Behemah in the house can certainly eat. Why does it say Lehem Tocha V'Lachaya? So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, the Darshan calls man that there's still cucumbers in the field that the Chayas can eat, then you can feed the Behemahs Babais. If once you reach the point, there's no longer any cucumbers in the field for the wild animals to eat, and you're not allowed to give cucumbers to your behemoths in the house. That's called the Zman Habir. Zman Habir is different from each fruit and vegetable. Everything that grows in Eretz Yisrael has a Zman Habir, and each one they approximately, they can never know exactly. All the Batidinim in Eretz Yisrael, they give out lists when they think it's always in the 8th year. The Zman Habir is always in the 8th year after the Shemitah is over. So that's a question. What do you do after this Ban Abir? The Ramban Chum is not so sure that this is a drasha deraisa. Maybe the whole institution of beer is only mid the Rabbanim. What do you do after this Ban Abir? Some Rishonim say you have to burn it. Beer means you have to burn it. Like beer chametz, you have to burn the chametz. That's not the common practice. We don't burn it. This Ban Abir means if you have something, perish visa hefker, so kol ha-kodim zocha. So let's say I grab the grapes, I grab things, I have them in the house. When it comes to Shas HaBir and I have a lot of stuff and there's no more in the field, then the din requires I have to be mafkrid, leave it hefker open to the public, whoever wants to can be zeicha, but I'm also part of the public. So if I want, I have to give others a chance to take it. I can't be mafkrid when no one else is watching. The Gemara says they made a takana with the Rabbanim and Atari can be mafkrid when no one else is watching, but by Shemitah it's not going to help. So the Rabbanim made a takana, whenever you make something hefker, you have to be mafkrid b'fnei shloisha. That one person should have the ability to be zechem and hefken, two people should be able to testify that I was mafkirit and he took it legitimately, that he didn't steal it. So you have to have hefken b'fnei shlosha, they can't be relatives. You have to have two people, are not related to me, not related to the third guy, who has to have the ability to be zechem and hefken, so they'll be able to testify that I was mafkirit and the third guy took it legitimately. You have to be mafkir b'fnei shlosha. More correct is you have to take it out of your house. Let's say I have wine of Kedusha's Perishvias, and then they say when this mana beer is. So I have a carton of wine, so it's not right. I should leave the carton of wine in my house. I open the door, and I scream in front of three people, I'm after all the cartons of wine in my house. Well, you want the people to come into your house and to take it? So more correct is you should take it out into the hallway if you live in an apartment building, or if you live in a private home. So you take it out, put it in the street for 10 minutes, and you say, bring over three people not related to each other. Then you say, I'm mafkir the cartons of wine. Whoever wants can take it. They understand I don't want them to take it. If they want to, they can take it, but they understand I would prefer they shouldn't take it. And then they'll walk away and they'll leave it for me. Then I can be zeicha back again, I can take it. That's how they're mekayim biur. So Ramban Chumash writes, he's not so convinced that it's a drasha gemur deraisa, and maybe the whole invention of biur is all midrabanan. Maybe it's a chumra midrabanan. Then the pasuk says, that pasuk goes on the beer. Lehem tochav alachai asher biatzecha. They are called to asalecha. Why only asher biatzecha? Only in Eretz Yisrael. So the Sifra has a drasha. You're not allowed to take perishvias into chutz la'aretz. Not supposed to take perishvias into chutz la'aretz. So this is a big discussion. And mefarshim, is this a din deraisa, or is it only an asmachta midrabanan? Some say that the beer eating it after the shas habir supposed to be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael. But that's why every sukkah is following Shnas HaShemitah. Everybody buys a sragim that grew during Shnas HaShemitah. So it's a perish vias. So the one who's selling the sragim is not supposed to charge money. He's supposed to charge money for the lulav. He's supposed to give it the estrig for nothing. He's going to charge money for the estrig, so the money will be nitfas b'kdushas perish vias. HaShemitah tofes system out. Then he can't put the money in a bank account. But the Akiva can't use it for their programs, whatever they want to use it for. So they're supposed to charge money for the lulav that doesn't have Kedushas Perishvias and give you the esrig for nothing. So what do you do with the esrig? It's soon going to come to Shas HaBir. So some say you're supposed to send it back to Eretz Yisrael and someone should eat it in Eretz Yisrael. That's a question. Anybody really going to eat the esrig? Going to make marmalade out of it? They're going to do something. That's a shot. It doesn't make sense that you should send it back there. It's just a bing kovako, just going to rot away. You're going to send it back there, so someone's going to eat it. Then it makes sense. You send it to do the beer in Eretz Yisrael. This pasuk is telling me about the mitzvah of beer. So the beer should take place in Eretz Yisrael. Beer means if someone's going to eat it after the shas habir. What do you do on Yovel? So he's supposed to blow shofar on Yom Kippur shol Yovel. The pasuk is very striking. Says Tavir shofar b'chol aretzechem, only in Eretz Yisrael. Chutz la'aretz, you don't blow shofar. The Rambam writes the same thing. You blow shofar b'chol ha'aretz, b'chol aretzechem. Very strange. So it's a machlokes achrayim. I think the Turi Eben and the Tzvasemes on Rosh Hashanah, the first parak from Rosh Hashanah. Does the mitzvah really only apply to Kippur shofar? Only applies Yom Kippur shol Yovel. In Eretz Yisrael, does it apply all over the world? Very strange. Why should it only be in Eretz Yisrael? It's not from the Chovis Karka. Yovel has the same dinim as Shemitah, the Isra Avodah Sakarkan, Tefes is the Mech, Kedushas, Perish, Vase, and so on. There's one din that we assume does not apply. One din for Shemitah does not apply to Yovel, that's Shemitah's Ksofit. The Shemitah Meshamet is Besofa, at the end of the seventh year, all the halvois are canceled. So the Tosfos learns in the Gemara, as it quotes the Shita, that the Yovel is not Meshamet Ksofim. There are sources where there are Tanaim all that Yovel is Meshamet Ksofim, but we don't accept that it being. We don't pass on like that. Yeah. The Gemara in the first parak in Avodah Zarah makes a comparison, just like there's a din of Shvisas Behemto on Shabbos. If I have an animal, I have to see to it that the animal doesn't do any melacha. So let's say my next neighbor on the farm is a Nochri, he has the adjacent farm. And I use his, he gives me permission to use his behemoth, to use his jeep and his kelim. And he has permission to use mine. So if he's going to use my behemoth to do work on Shabbos, that'll be my violation. That's an iser. Mechamer is manah mechamer acha behemti b'Shabbos. But shvisas behemto is even if I'm not doing it. By mistake, I gave permission to the next door neighbor to use my cow, then I realized they're going to be using it to do melacha on Shabbos. So the Gemara says in the dorm, you better be mafker it. So the Gemara says, you can just like I can be makna something to you for a day, and after the day goes back to me, the Gemara says, you can be mafker it for a day. So be, don't tell the goy that you're mafker it. Tell three Jews, I'm away on vacation somewhere. I'm a tzvat. So I'm not going to call up the goy, tell him I'm mafker the behemoth for a day. He'll be zeichem and a hefker, and I won't get it back. So I tell three Jews there in Tzvat, I'm mafker the behemoth. So then I will avoid violation of Shvisas Behemto. So the Gemara makes a mashal. Just like every Shabbos there's an Issa, Shvisas Behemto, if it's my behemoth, I have to see to it that my behemoth is not involved in malocha, even if I'm not the one who's doing the malocha with the behemoth, someone else is doing it. So too, the Gemara said, there's a din of Shvisas Sadehu Vishnas HaShmita. The Shabbos, Shabbos Hashem, whoever is the owner of the field has a mitzvah to leave the field alone, not to do avodas hakarka. So that's why some gedolim in the recent years came up with a chiddush that Amira Lenochri and Shmita would be an Issa Deraisa. If you ask a guy, if you ask a guy to do malacha for you on Shabbos, so Amira Lenochri is only the Rabbana. That's why you have a whole list of kulas. But Mokum Tzab Balichayim, you're allowed to milk the cows all day Nochri because the behemoths are in pain when you don't milk them. And b'makom mizayin kisvei hakodesh, you're allowed to do amir v'nochri, chod l'shem sakana, we allow mitzvah derabim, we have a lot of kulas, and amir v'nochri. But the shad is, if amir v'nochri and shmita, maybe an isa deraisa, because the owner, whoever's the owner of the field, has a mitzvah of shvisa sadeyu. He should see to it that his field shouldn't be involved in any malacha. When the Gedolim came up with the Heter Mechira in the late 1800s, and they picked it up in the 1600s, the Heter Mechira. So when they first gave the Heter to the farmers in Eretz, they said they should sell the farm to a non-Jew, and then they should get non-Jews to do the Malachas HaKarka for them. So that's the question, did they really lower the level of the Isser? If you have a non-Jew, do the Malachas HaKarka. That's Amir Eliyakum, and Amir Eliyakum is only the Rabbanon, like Shabbos and Yontif, and Chalamoid, Amir Eliyakum is only the Rabbanon. Maybe over here, Amir Eliyakim is there, so like by Shvisas Behemto, I'll ask a goy to take my behemoth and to have it to do malacha. So that's a violation of the Raisa on Shabbos, Shvisas Behemto. So maybe Shvisas Sadehu, Amir Eliyakim will be an Issa de Raisa. It doesn't lower the level of the Issa. So these Gedolim who came up with the Heter Mechira, they said, Liyasa says they should have hired non-Jewish workers to do the Avodas HaKarka. So they were of the assumption that it lowers the level of the Issa. And others disagree. They held that it's the same level of Issa. Yeah, so those are the dinim. We have the dinim of Shemitah, the dinim of Yovel. Yerushalmi has a suffix. Are you allowed to use the Ayin Shel Shviyas for Kiddush? What's the suffix? It's very unclear. So different Mefarshim give different interpretations. Yer Sameach. And the Rambam has always an original insight. So he says, the Rambam follows the Gaonim that he can only use for Kiddush, Yain Shiroi Lanasach Hagabi HaMizbeach. So if you have, let's say, Yain Mevushal, which is not Roi Lanasach Hagabi HaMizbeach, the Rambam quotes the Gaonim, you can't use it for Kiddush. Rambam has a machlekes with the Gaonim, whatever. You have Yain She'enim Mevushal, but they mixed in, has sugar added. So if you have a carbon where you added sugar, you can't be makar with the carbon. That's Sorah Dvash, lo saktir memenu, isha l'Hashem. You mix in Sorah Dvash. So that's machlok, is the Rambam and the Gaonim. What's the din? If you bring a carbon and you mix it in Sorah Dvash, you're even out there because of the Sorah Dvash, or do you say, no, a carbon sheyesh b'Sorah Dvash, the whole carbon is pasul. So if you hold the whole carbon is pasul, so yayin sheyesh b'Sorah Dvash, the whole yayin is pasul. If you hold, no, the carbon is not pasul, you're violating the avera for the Sorah Dvash. So if that's the case, then you can use wine with sugar added for Kiddush, because the wine never became pasul. That's the Minchas Chinuch raises that suffix. It says, if you made k'toyres, nosam advash psolo. If you mixed in dvash, you pasled it. So what does it mean it pasled? Even if you makriv the k'toyres, you're not yotze b'dieved, because k'toyres sheyesh b'sor dvash is pasul. But you say, no. Lamaisa, you can't be makta the k'toyres because it's full of dvash. You'll be violating the avera on the dvash. But you'll be yotze b'dieved on the k'toyres. The k'toyres didn't become pasul. So that nekuda that the Minchas Chinuch was mesupik about, that's what they quote Havdalah v'Saloveitchik said. That's exactly the machlokes. The Rambam and the Gaonim. The Rambam quotes the Gaonim. Usually the Rambam only quotes one sheet, and that's the halacha. Once in a long while, the Rambam quotes the machlokes. Here he quotes his machlokes with the Gaonim. If you have wine that has sugar added, do you say the whole wine is pasul? Or do you say no? The sugar is not kosher lahakrov al gabi hamizbech, but the wine remains kosher. So if so, then it's yain shroila nasach al gabi hamizbech. It would be good for kiddush. So that's what the Or Sameach says, that Perish Shvius is liochla b'lo l'menochas. You're not allowed to use Perish Shvius lehepsit. It has to be for achil osoda. You're not allowed to use it to make a korban mincha. So if you have yayin shel Shvius, you can't be menasach haragav emesbech. That's like a violation of liochla b'lo lehepsit, liochla b'lo l'menochas. So that was what the Or Sameach learns. That was the Yerushalmi Sofik. Are you permitted to use yayin shel Kiddush, yayin shel Shvius, for Kiddush on the assumption that Kiddush has to be Yayin Shiroi L'Nasach Agav Yamizbech? That's a big assumption. And Yerushalmi is assuming like the Rambam and the Gaonim. We don't follow the Rambam and the Gaonim. We use Yayin Mevushal for Kiddush. We don't pasken like the Rambam and the Gaonim. So he's interpreting the Yerushalmi that it goes with the Shitas HaRambam V'Gaonim. Yerushalmi is assuming that Yayin that's not Roi L'Nasach Hamizbech can't be used for Kiddush. This was a suffix. Is this called Ein Roi L'Nasach Agav Yamizbech? Because of Shemitah, not because. That's because of something strange about the Yai. Yai Mevushal is something unusual about the Yai. Yai mixed in Sorah Dvash is something unusual about the Yai. Yai has Kedusha's Perish Vias, so that's why, because Le'achla V'lo'la Hefzit, there's nothing different about the Yai per se. That's what he says. Others give different interpretations. What exactly is the Nekudas HaSofik? Then the Parsha has the Din of Ainoa. So the Gemara has a drasha. We're talking only about metaltlim. We're not talking about karka. There's no din of ainoa the karka. So the Rambani asks Chachomish, but the very next pasuk says, "The mispashana machayov tikta miyesa misecha." When you sell fields in Eretz Yisrael, you should keep in mind that you're going to get it back. If it's the steachuzi, you're going to get it back when it comes Yom Kippur shel Yovel. It's only charge according to how many years there are left till Yovel. You're going to charge too much. It's say no. So how can you say ain on all the karkos? The next pasuk gives the mashal about selling karka in Eretz Yisrael. It's a pella. So the Ramban answers, and the Minchas Chinuch explains it elaborately. He explains very nicely. The Mishnah is having hazov that there's a penalty if you sold, if you charge too much, or the lekech paid too little. Either the mocher fooled the lekech, lekech fooled the mocher, they paid the wrong amount. So sometimes there's a penalty that if the price is off pachas mishtus, so we say it's mechila. Price is off shtus. Shtus is a whole range. It's not pinpointed one penny. Shtus is a whole range. The Gemara tells you how to calculate shtus. So then there's a penalty machzor enor. The fellow wants, you have to give him back how much you cheated him. If you cheated him yes and mishtus, then there's a penalty. He has a right to back out in God's. So where did the Tanoim get this idea from that there's a penalty by Einor? So the Minchas Chinuch points out that the Ramban on Chumash explains it. The Chumash says the din of Einor by Karka, and then the Chumash writes Miyad Amisecha, Dora Nikna Miyad Liyad Einor only applies to Metaltalim, but it's a contradiction between Pasuk Yudalid and Pasuk Tezvav. So he says, you see the Tzvei Dinim, the two Dinim in Einor, there's an Isra Einor, then there's a penalty. So the Isra Einor even applies to Karka. But the penalty of Einor only applies to metal, it doesn't apply to karka. but there certainly is an Isra Ino on Karka. The same thing, the Pasuk says, Miyad HaMisecha. HaMisecha, the Gemara has on the first daf in the second parak in Mcheres. Miyad HaMisecha, LaMisecha, Tamachzor Ino, Liyad Tamachzor Ino, LaAkum. So the Rashash points out, he think on that Gemara, the first daf in the second parak in Mcheres, if in the Gemara would appear, there is an Isra Ino, if he's dealing with an Ochri, there is an Isra Ino, it's just that there's no penalty of Ino. Just like Hegdish, just like Karka. It's a muta to cheat Hegdish, it's also to cheat Hegdish. And you know, like Deshish means that there's no penalty. If you did cheat Hegdish, Hegdish is worth money. Hegdish of a money, Shechilash of a puta. I gave a puta to be paid a Hegdish that's worth $100,000. So Bidiyevet, it's Padui, and you don't say there's a penalty by no. But Chatchila, for sure, you're not allowed to cheat Hegdish. Unless it's Bizman Hazer, so you're not really cheating Hegdish. Then the Gemara says you'd like to give Hatchila a pruta to be paid everything because there's no pseida to Hegdish. So that's what the Rashash writes, the beginning of the second parak in Mechoiris, that when you deal with an Ochrim business, there certainly is an Isser Aino, just that there's no penalty of Aino. Mishkan Asyankov writes the same. Mishkan Asyankov was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, one of the earlier Talmudim, when he first founded the yeshiva. So he has a tshuva in Chelek HaShemish, but a Jew sold a boat to a Nochri, and he overcharged him something terrible. So the Nochri didn't pay yet. The Nochri had the boat, and he didn't pay yet. Then he finds out. The Nochri starts asking and finds out that he could have gotten the boat by anybody else, but one-third the price. The Jew ripped him off. So he tells him, I'm not going to pay you the amount of money. You're a ganav. So the Jew says, gone to a din Torah. So he says, I'm going to court. I'm not going to a din Torah. So he says, I'm not allowed to go to court. It's not true. If a guy takes you to court, you go to court. If two Jews, if the both parties are Jews, they're not allowed to go to secular court. So the Jew tells him, I'm not allowed to go to court. So the guy says, I'll go to a din Torah. There's no rabbi with a normal head in the world is going to say, I have to pay you three times the amount that the boat is worth. They go to the din Torah. So the local rabbi says, Ein ano lahakum, and the guy has to pay three times as much. So the guy asks, I can't believe it. Is there a higher authority? Is there an appeals court? I want to go to Ibez. So they said, yeah, Abyanka Lekalina. Sent him the shayma. So they sent him the shayma. So he wrote a tshuva. He says, the goy is right and the rabbi is wrong. Ein ano lahakum means that there's no penalty of Aino. Isra Aino is there. So if the goy had already paid the price that was three times the normal price, what it should have been, so then there's no penalty. You're not going to force the Jew to pay him back to Aino. But he didn't pay yet. He has the money. He has the boat. So he says, the rabbi who forces the goy to pay will be in violation of the Isra of Aino. If the rabbi is going to pass and he has to pay, the rabbi will violate Aino. So that's why the Rashash is bothered with the Kashi. He says, they look in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, they seem to write, Ein Ano La'akum means there's no prohibition of Aino. So he tainus, isn't it against the Gemara? The Gemara seems beferish, La'misecha atamachsur Ano, biatamachsur Ano La'akum. It goes like Karka and like Hegdish. Only goes on the Knas of Aino, the penalty. Doesn't go on the Isra Ano. The Isra Ano does apply. Then the Rabbanan Shalom says, you have to observe the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, ki li kol ha'aretz. I own Eretz Yisrael. Ki gerim etoshalim atem imadi. You're all guests in Eretz Yisrael. It's my land. You have to follow the rules. Words lo simachal etzmisus. You're not allowed to sell Eretz Yisrael for good. Permanently, whoever sells us the Ahuza gets it back when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. And even if you sold it, gula tielo oritz, you have the ability to buy it back. If you get money later, you have the right to buy it back, to restore it to its original state. So in this pasuk, the Sfarno comments, kili ha'aretz, ki gerim etoshalim atem imadi. So he says, every country belongs to the king of the country. The real estate in Great Britain belongs to the Queen of England. And whatever, Russia, every country used to have a czar, used to have a king. So the king owns everything, and Eretz all belongs to the Rebbe Shalom. So the Rebbe Shalom is the boss. That's how the Ran on the Dorim has a famous line. The people, they don't know what it says, the first 25 blood, they don't know what it says, the last the 75 blood. They just know there's a Ran on the Dorim that says that you don't have to pay taxes in Eretz Yisrael. The Ran quotes from the Bali Atesa. So what is that based on? So the Gemara says, Dina the Machlus Adina, you have to pay tax. So what is that based on? So the Ran quotes the Bali Atesa. Paying tax is like paying rent. If the landlord owns the building, so you have to pay. I want to move into his building, I have to pay rent. So every country belongs to the king of the country, unless it's a democracy. America's a democracy. Years ago, there were no democracies. So every country belongs to the king. So the king has a right to say, you want to live in my country, you have to pay rent. How much rent should you pay? So we'll have an income tax. We'll have a system. Whoever can afford it should pay more. Whoever can't afford it should pay less. But basically, you're really, really paying schiras batin, paying for the right to live in the country. But Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Keli Kol Haaretz. Eretz Yisrael belongs to God. And he said, I want all the Jewish people to live in Eretz Yisrael. So no government, not the British government, not the Jewish government, no one has a right to charge any tax in Eretz Yisrael, because the Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The whole theory behind paying taxes is that the owner of the field has a right to charge rent. The Pashto says that it has no application today in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, that shita is not really accepted in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote, every section of Shulchan Aruch is really based on a different rishon. Much of Shulchan Aruch is just, the Mechab is just quoting from the Rambam. This din, in the end of Chosh Mishpah, when he quotes about paying tax, he's quoting from the Rambam. There are other sections, let's say Hilchas Avelis, is quoting heavily from the Ramban and the Torah Sa'odom. And then lots of Chosh Mishpat are quoting from the Sefer HaTrumas, which was written by Talmud of the Ramban. Big chunks of Chosh Mishpat from Sefer HaTrumas. Different parts, Yeridei Chel Galav is often the Torah Sabayis LaHarashbo. Different parts of Shulchan Aruch are based on different Svar. So this part about paying taxes to the government, this is direct quotation from the Rambam. So the Rambam says, not only are you mechuyif to pay tax in Eretz Yisrael, you even have to pay tax to a Goyisha government in Chutz Lotz. But the original din of paying tax is in Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish government. Why? So the Vilna Gaon says, because B.R. Groh, he says it is based on the Parshas HaMelech and Sefer Shmuel. When the people requested of Shmuel HaNavi, we don't want to have a Shofet, we want to have a Melech, like all the nations of the world. So Shmuel HaNavi starts telling him all the evils of having a Melech. He's going to draft your children into the army. He's going to make you pay taxes. He's going to take your daughters as bilakshkim. He's going to make your daughters cook for him in his palace and so on. So the Gemara has machlokes Rav Shmuel in the second parak in Sanhedrin. Kol ha'amid b'parshas melech. All the things the Shmuel and Navi is warning Bnei Yisrael. Is it melech mutabo? These are legal rights of the king. The king has a right to charge tax and so on. Or kol ha'amid b'parshas melech. Melech asadbo. These are the things that the king, the liberties that the kings take that are against the halach. So we pass on La Shmuel, call on pass Malach Mutabo. It is legitimate, it is legal. So one of the things mentioned is that the king in Eretz Yisrael is entitled to charge tax, and when rich himself, based on the tax goes to him. So that's how the Rambam writes. Not only, the Rambam says it based on that Parsha Samela, not only does the Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael have a right to charge tax, as it, implying as it says in the Parsha Samela and Sefer Shmuel, even a Goyish government in Chutz Lotz also has a right to charge tax. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it all this. Ran. The Ran of the Dharma quotes the Taisus that there's no din in the Machutz, you don't have to pay tax in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. The Mefarshim there, it's mentioned, but it's not accepted at all by Halacha. You don't have to pay tax. Bizman Hazeh, for sure you have to pay tax. Because Bizman Hazeh, the theory behind the tax is that when you have a democracy, so the money is not collected, the taxation money is not collected to enrich the king. The Rambam says the taxes are menos ha-melech. That's the money that goes to the king. Whoever doesn't pay taxes is cheating the king, stealing from the king. The Bizman Hazeh, the taxes don't go to enrich Obama. We elected him, right or wrong, we elected him, and we decided how much salary he's entitled to. He doesn't take extra, maybe stealing on the side. A lot of congressmen, a lot of judges, a lot of people cheating on the system. But officially, we elected him. We give him a salary, so he's entitled to his salary. The taxes are collected because the government takes care of different things. They have public schools, they have highways, they have forests, they have museums, they have mail delivery, they have a fire department. They have so many different things, and some things are taken care of by the municipal government. Some things are taken care of, the highways are taken care of by the state government, some things are taken care of by the federal government. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, there's a section of Chosh Mishpat, it's called Hilchos Shluchim Mishutfim, the Dinim of Shutim. So the Shulchan Aruch, based on Tosefta and Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch considers all the people who live in a neighborhood who share together the same needs, we all live in America, we all need mail delivered. So we're all shutfim with respect to mail delivery. We're all shutfim, we need police protection. So the municipality gives police protection. We need an army to protect us from outside the countries shouldn't attack us. So that's the federal government takes care of that. We need highways. I don't need the public school. I don't need the highways either. I don't drive a car. I don't need the museums. But you go bus arrive, you're not going to say, I don't want to pay for that because I don't need it. So the Gemara says, you go bus arrive. So since the arrive of the people in New York State and New York City need public schools, so we all, even the Miyot has to pay. One family has no children, so oh, their children already graduated from school. They say, we don't need any public schools. Our children already graduated. We don't need. And our grandchildren don't live in this state. You can't say you don't want. You go bus arrive, whatever you have a shutfis, and the rive say, we should spend money on this, that, and the other thing. So the rive wins. The Vilna Gaon says, how does a tosefta know that you follow the rive when you have a shutfis? So he says, a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, acharam lahatas. The pasuk is by the bezin, but he assumed the same pasuk applies to a shutfis. So the mice in America, we're all shutfim on three different levels. We're shutfim on a municipal level, on a state level, and on a federal level, national level. So we have to pay the taxes. That's the din. If you have, let's say you have shutfim, we have a shoe company, and we're being very successful and making a lot of money. It comes the end of the year, so instead of dividing up the profits that we made in the course of the year, so they have a meeting, and some of the shareholders in the shoe company decide, everyone should give back all the profit that we made this year. We should open a branch in Paris, we should open other branches in London. We'll make, the year after, we'll make billions. We'll make so much more. I'm not interested in making all this money. I don't want to open a branch, and not in Paris and not in London. So each shareholder, each shutev is going to give his daya. So you have to go bus arrive. The Tosefta quoted in Shulchan Aruch says, you go bus arrive. Whenever there's a dispute among the shutfim, whatever the majority said. So that's what taxes is all based on. The Jews feel we need a shul. So all the people who live in the neighborhood, our shutfim together, so they have to pay for shul, they have to pay for a mikveh. His wife doesn't go to mikveh anymore. He's not married. He doesn't want to pay for the mikveh. It doesn't matter, he doesn't want to pay. He doesn't want to support the yeshiva. It doesn't matter, you don't have any children. These are needs that the community has. So the government collects the taxes. The government is not going to be enriched by collecting the taxes. They're going to pay Obama his money, they're going to pay the governor his money, they're going to pay all the congressmen, the senators. Look, we agreed to this. This is what all the shutfim agreed to. So the collection of the taxes is because of the shutfis together. Whoever doesn't pay taxes is stealing from me. My taxes are higher because there's so many other people who are not paying taxes. So they're stealing from all the other shutfim. They're not stealing from the government. The government is just the secretary who's taking care of it over here. But they're not getting it rich. Some of the money goes to the President of the United States, some of it goes to the congressman and so on. That's what we agreed to. It's all a collection from the shutfim. So today, no one would say, nobody in his right mind would apply that run. There is, oh, it's all a democracy today. It's too much of a democracy. It's wild. So the money goes to cover all of the services that they give. It covers the army, and it covers they support yeshivas, and it covers the public schools, all the schools and the highways and everything. It's like any other democracy. Then the parsha has an institution of gulas kreivim. If a person sold steahuza, so we want to have it come back into the family. So there's a din, he can buy it back. Or if he doesn't come into money later on, one of the closest relatives can buy it back. If a relative buys it back, so who does it belong to? When he buys it back, it belongs to him. And then I get it back on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, or it belongs back to me. So that's not discussed explicitly. They leave that to your imagination. So that's a machlokes in the Rishonim. The Mefarshim on Chumash have a machlokes. Who gets it? Does the relative get it, or does the original owner get it? In the parsha, you only have the din of geulas kroivim after he sold it already. Then the kroivim, whoever is the closest relative, can force the lekech to sell it back to him. The haftorah is from Yirmiyah, so the haftorah talks about a minig that they had bizman haTanach, that if a person had to sell a steakuzah, rather than sell it to a stranger and have the relative buy it, force the stranger to sell it back to him, lechatchila, when you're selling a steakuzah, sell it to a relative. So that's how the Haftarah goes. Yirmiyahu HaNavi is describing the Babylonian armies are about to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, all the real estate is worthless. Because they're all about to be sent into Golus. They're going to be killed, they're going to be sent into Golus, and the Goyish army is going to take away all the real estate. He gets a prophecy from the Rebbe Shlom, his cousin is going to come to him, and his cousin wants to sell property in the city Anosos, and he's the closest relative. And L'chom Mishpat HaGula, according to the Minig, you should buy it from me, because the closest relative should buy it. So absolutely it doesn't make any sense. Why should he buy it? It's worthless. The real estate is worthless. It's going to go down to zero in another day. So Yirmiyahu HaNavi does what the Rebbeinu Shlom asked him to do, and they write two shtoris, a Sefer HaGolah and a Sefer HaChosim, and they write two shtoris on the deal. And after he buys it, then he asks, then he prays to the Rebbeinu Shalom. He says, Rebbeinu Shalom, the armies are about to conquer the whole Eretz Yisrael, the real estate is worthless. Why did you tell me that I should buy this karka? Everything is going to be lost. Why did you tell me to buy the karka? Absolutely, it doesn't make any sense. So the concluding pasuk is, V'hidvar Hashem al Yirmiyahu Leimar, he gets another nevuah, Hini ani Hashem al Kei Kol Basar, and many Yipalei Kol Davar. I know what I'm doing, just do what I told you to do. Then the Haftarah ends, but in Navi Yirmiyahu, you have a few more pesukim where he explains why. Even though it's not a smart business investment that he should buy real estate now, everything's going to be taken away by the Babylonian armies, but it's a similar banecho, that the Golus Bavel is only going to last 70 years, and then either your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren will come back to Eretz Yisrael. So this will be mechazik, the amuna in the Gula Shnia, that there was a Gulas Mitzrayim, and there's going to be a Gula from Golus Bavel also. So tell him to put away the documents. Yes, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, you have by the Akedah, Avraham Avinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kibbi Yitzchak Yikor L'Chazera. Yitzchak is going to carry on the Masorah of Yiddishkeit, not Yishmael, and not B'nei Ketura, and not Eliezer Eved Avraham is going to be Yitzchak. Then, at a later date, it tells him, Kach L'Chaz B'nechazchit Chazi Yitzchak, Ba'alei L'Yolol, you should bring him as a carbon oilos. So how is it going to be Yitzchak Yikor L'Chazera? Going to shecht them as a korban. So Avraham Avinu goes ahead, he's about to shecht them. He doesn't ask any kashas, and then the Rebbe Shlom sends a malach, and malach says, Al tishol kiyot chalanar, leave him alone. So he does what the malach told him. After the whole story is completed, then Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Avraham Avinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please explain what this was all about. Esmal amartali, first you tell me kibitzel korach zarah. And then you tell me Kachnis bin Chasitzchok Vale Sham Lyola. And then you tell me Atish Khamana. Everything contradicts everything else. Why didn't he ask it before? Because if a Jew knows that he's mechuyav to do something, even if he thinks that it's nonsensical, it doesn't make any sense, but it's clear that that's what the Rebbe Shlom wants you to do, so you have to do it. There are people today that'll only observe those mitzvahs that they understand the fiyah ni'ez daitim. They understand that it makes sense. When they give the Rebbe Shlom an A+ for giving a mitzvah, so then they'll do the mitzvah. When they give him an F, if he gives a mitzvah that in their mind doesn't make any sense, so they're not going to do that mitzvah. That's not called a mitzvah. A mitzvah means a mitzvah. A mechuyav to do, whether it makes sense or it doesn't make sense. So Avraham Avinu does what he's mitzvah to do. And then he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please explain to me, what did I do? There's a pasuk in Tehillim which the Miri interprets. Tuv tamid aslam deini, kibid mitzvisecha he'emonti. So he says, I believe in the mitzvahs. I'm going to do it. David Amal says, I'm going to fulfill the mitzvahs. I'm going to do it anyway, whether I understand it or not. But he asked the Teva, maybe explain to me what's the secret, what's the mitzvah all about. Tuv tamad aslam deni ki. So the Miri interprets ki often means despite the fact. Ki mishamish badal, the Chinese word ki has different meanings. So sometimes it means because, and sometimes it means despite the fact. Here it means despite the fact that the mitzvah secha ha monti. I have amuna. I know I'm going to do what you told me to do, but please explain to me what it's supposed to represent. So that's what Avraham Avinu does. He does it, Tzivi Hashem, it's clear to him. He has to shecht them, and then it's clear to him he should leave him alone. And then after he finished doing what he's supposed to, he says, maybe explain to me what it was all about. So that's what Yirmiyahu does the same. Absolutely doesn't make any sense whatsoever. He does it, Tzivi Hashem, he buys it, and he pays cash in full. And then he asked the Rebbeinu Shalom, he offers a tefillah, maybe explain to me what it was all about. So the Rebbeinu Shalom explains to him. So then Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the Gemara understands in the end of Bava Basra, you have per get poshut. So the Gemara says there, and get, the word get doesn't only mean a bill of divorce, a get means a shtar. Shtar halva is called the get, a shtar mechira is called the get. So there's a get pashat and there's a get mekusha. A get pashat is if everything is written on one side of the page, and the witnesses are signed on the bottom, like a ksuba, like a tanoim, like a get, shtam mechiras chametz, everything is written on one side of the page. And then there's a get mekusha. The different opinions in the Rishonim exactly what it is. They found an Eretz Yisrael old Git Mikusharim, so they found what it's like. So they write a few lines, then they fold it over and they sew it. They have stitches and they have an 8 sign on the back. Then they write another few lines and then they fold it over and then they sew that up, the stitches, then they have another 8 sign on the back. So the Mishnah says that a Git Mikushar keeps on your right and you fold it over and you stitch it. So you can't see what it says there and all the signatures are on the other side. The get mekusha has to have a minimum of 3 edim, and the get pashut has to have 2 edim. Get pashut is on one side of the page. So why do they write 2 shtaros on the same side? He wrote a sefer agolui, everything is written on one side, and sefer achasim, it's all sewed up. The Gemara says sefer achasim is the get mekusha. Why did he write 2 different shtaros? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. That in life, a lot of times things are pretty clear and obvious. What's going on? It's like a get pashut. Everything is on one side of the page. You read it, then it's obvious. And a lot of times in life, there are a lot of things that are like a get mekusha. Is such, it's hidden, and it's folded up. And until you rip out the stitches, you won't know what the secrets are over here. So that's what Yirmiyahu Navi was instructed. He should buy a field, which absolutely didn't make any sense whatsoever. So at the end, after he does the Tzivi Hashem, the Ratzon Hashem, then he asks the Baruch Shalom, maybe explain what it's all about. Baruch Shalom gave him a good explanation. This is a similar banacha that there will be a gula after 70 years, don't worry. And you should put away the shtoris, b'kilcheres l'man yamdu yamim rabim, and your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren will come back after the 70 years, and they'll have the shtar, they'll be able to come back. This is a simon that there will be a gula. So that's what the get mekusha represents, this hidden things in life. There are a lot of hidden things in life, that while it's happening, we don't understand. We look back in retrospect, and we realize what was going on. So that's the connection between the Haftorah and the Parsha. In the Parsha, you have the din of Gulas Krovim after if you sold the karka already, then there's a din of Gulas Krovim. In the days of the Nevim, they had a meaning that when you're about to sell karka, rather than sell it to a stranger and start to negotiate that Krovim should buy it back, they had a meaning, you sell it to the closest relative. Then the Torah has the din of Ribbis, you're not allowed to charge Ribbis. The Gemara says, when you lend the money, you're already in violation of ribis, even if you didn't collect it. Shuma milsi, when you lend the money and you say, I'm going to charge the interest, it's already a violation. And then, there's another violation of ribis when you take the money, when you take the ribis from the person. Then the Gemara has a machlekes, Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Loza, was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. If you collected ribis deraisu, that's called ribis ketsutso. Can the loiva who paid it already, can he demand in Besna you should reimburse him? Is it ribis ketsutza yotze v'dayon? So usually we pass en alochei ketalmid b'makam harav, and under normal circumstances we would have passed like Rabbi Yechanan against Rabbi Lozer. Here the Gemara says in the beginning of Perek Izal Nesha, the din is like Rabbi Lozer the Talmud, and it's based on the pasuk v'chei achicha imach. So the Gemara says that pasuk v'chei achicha imach means you should give back the ribis. If you collected the ribis, you should give back the ribis ketsutza. It's yotze b'dayon. That's how we pass. Ribis she'ena ketsutza is not yotze b'dayonim, but then Taisus has 2 days, and the psak that's accepted is that the b'chol losses of Deish Amayim should give that back also. Then the Gemara has the comment on the pasuk, and Eved is referred to as a nachala. Nachla is a technical term that always applies to karka. You don't say, you call it a Yerusha. I got a big Yerusha from my father. He left a lot of money in the bank. He left it. That's called a Yerusha. That's not called a Nachla. Nachla means karka. Why is it called Eved Knaini Nachla? So the Gemara says, Avodim Hukshilu Karkos. Eved Knaini has a din like karka. That's a big machlokes, Rashi and Tosafot. What about a Ben Chorin? Ben Chorin also has a din. Avodim hukshul karkas means all Odom is hukshul karka, or only Avod. So that's in the first perik in Maseches Kiddushin. There's a machlokes. The Mishnah Melech has a stir in the Rambam whether Ben Echorin hukshul karkas or not. That's a discussion. Then Tosis in the first perik in Bava Kamma, the Gemara has a discussion whether Avodim have the din like karka. So one says, I'm surprised, how do you come off to say such a wild idea? Eved has a din, like Karka said, yeah, have a raya. So they said, what do you mean? What's the whole discussion? Avada hukshu l'karkos. What's the shayla? That's a famous drush. They says, no, the Gemara there is talking about dinim derabbanan. Avada hukshu l'karkos means with, is a pasuk in Chumash, that we respect all dinim deraisa, which kinyanim work and so on. But with respect to dinim derabbanan, that's the machlokes over there, and the Gemara comes to the conclusion that with respect to dinim derabbanan, avadim have the din like metaltalim. Avadim are not hukshu l'karkos. Have din like metaltalim. That's what they assume in Shulchan Aruch. Like that thesis, that there's a difference between dinim derais and dinim derabbanan. Then the parsha concludes with the pasuk of Shabsoisa Tishmar Mikdoshi Tiro Ani Hashem. So the Gemara in the first parak in Yevamos quotes a braisa. Just like Shabbos is Li'olam, you always have to observe Shabbos even when you go into Golus. So too, Mikdoshi Tiro is Li'olam, even if the Beis HaMikdash is Bechurbanai. Still, Mikdoshi Tiro is still within a Moira HaMikdash. So many interpret because Kedushas HaMikdash is Kitchel Losi Lovai. That's how the Rambam paskens. The Gemara had a Machlokes HaTanoim. And this price in the beginning of Yevamos, that Ma Shabbos Li'olam, Af Moira HaMikdash Li'olam, is working with the assumption that Kedushas HaMikdash is Kitchel Losi Lovai. And other Acharanim say they don't think so, because the Gemara never quoted this price in the context of that discussion, of that topic, whether the Mokam HaMikdash is Kitchel Losi Lovai. So they think that it's a different word. Even if the Mokam HaMikdash is like Kitchel Losi Lovai. And you can't be Makar Kabbanas Bezman Azeh. And if you go there but in a state of Tumah, you won't be Chayv Kareis. But there's still a din of Moira HaMikdash out of respect for the fact that there used to be a Beis HaMikdash and there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash here. Beis HaMikdash is going to be in the exact same location where it was all along. So that's also requires Mikdashi Tiro. Just like Shabbos Le'olam so to Moira HaMikdash Le'olam, it doesn't mean that the Kedushas HaMikdash is there. No, if the Kedushas HaMikdash is there, Avada there's Moira HaMikdash. It means even though it's Lo'kit Shalosi Lo'olam. Bottom line, that's the machlek, is the Rambam and the Raivid. The Rambam paskens that the Mokam HaMikdash is Kitchel Losi Lovai, and the Raivid disagrees. A lot of dinim in the parsha, okay. We will resume the shiurim on Tuesday. We're going to start from the next parak, Daf Lamed Beis.